Pittsburgh Section of the National Council for Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Nancy Holmes and Eleanor Langer are interviewing Dr. Milton Jaina on November 5, 1975. Dr. Jaina, can we start with your family? Can you tell us something of your parents? What their names were?
Yeah. My mother's name was Ida Arnfeld. Amazing. My father's name was Henry. My mother was born in Erie. My father was born in Germany. Came to the States as a quite a young man, having served as a stint in the army. And met my mother. Can you turn this thing off for there? Someone wants to check it. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You want to continue?
They were married, I'm going to say, in 1887, here in Pittsburgh. I have one sister, Hazel. She was born in 1889. And that's the start of our family.
When did you join the family?
I was born in October 1891.
Where did your father come from in Germany?
Jaina.
He came from Jaina. What was your home life like as a child? Can you describe it to us?
Well, it wasn't anything particularly distinctive. We had a very close-knit family. My mother's family lived in Pittsburgh. So it was a rather close-knit family, actually. We lived in Lawrenceville, which was a very small, was then a very small part of Pittsburgh. There were very few Jewish families. And so our life there, let me introduce Ben later, but our life there was not at all limited by our Jewish connections. Although, long before I was born, my parents were members of the synagogue of Shulman, as were my grandparents. I'm mistaken. My grandfather and grandmother belonged to the Tree of Life congregation. We belonged to the Rosh Hashanah. My sister and I went to the public schools and then to private schools.
Which public schools did you attend?
I went to the Lawrenceville Public School, and then to the East Liberty Academy, which was similar to present Shadyside Academy, which is no longer existing.
Does the Lawrenceville School still exist?
Mm-hmm. It's on Main Street.
Is that the one we now know as Arsenal?
Well, I'm not too sure about that because the Arsenal, well, I was thinking of that being shut. I could reconstruct it. We did quite a bit of traveling when I was young. My sister and my mother and I, but my mother had a number of diseases. We now consider them as having mostly been functional. This was at a period when people hunted the cure in Europe. My father stayed home and worked. We had a haberdashery shop in Lawrenceville. And my mother and sister and I, hunting for cures, went to the various spas in Germany and Switzerland. I took my college degree, Bachelor of Science, through at Pittsburgh. Graduated in 1912. And then enrolled at the University of Pennsylvania Medical School and graduated in 1916.
What was your undergraduate major?
Science. Bachelor of Science.
Yeah, Bachelor of Science. But did you specialize in one particular science or was that not done?
No, at that time it was biology and math. Mm-hmm. It was all inclusive. Graduated from the University of Pennsylvania, as I said, in 1960.
What was it like to travel as far as Europe as a child?
Well, it was a pretty young fellow. It was very exciting. That's an exaggeration. It wasn't for spas. You went for a cure. Carlsbad, Baden-Baden, Wiesbaden, all those places where you drank the waters and were cured. It was a, well, like later on was in the States, Saratoga, Cambridge Springs, and so on. It was fun. And you learned a lot. Because for a youngster at that period, even the ships traveled. As a matter of fact, I remember on my birthday, my father sent me what must have been one of the earliest Marconi cable wireless on my birthday. We would see. That's not very relevant. After graduating from medical school, I had an internship at the West Penn Hospital in Pittsburgh. But I contracted tuberculosis in my senior year, and there was only one cure for it then, of course, and I had medicine. Milk and eggs, and this stuff. In any event, I went out west. That was supposed to be the next place. Took the examinations and got an internship at the Los Angeles County Hospital, which is now known as the Los Angeles General. It's a huge institution. Having had polio when I was 14, unrecognized, when I got out to California and took this internship, just before it was over, which was a 2 or 3 year deal, we got into World War I, and I enlisted in the Navy in San Diego. I lied a little bit, because when they asked me if I had any illnesses, what they do, I said, none at all. At that time, I had about a quart of fluid in my chest, but we were all that way. And so I was in the Navy until a very bright officer listened to my lines and threw me out.
How long were you in there?
Oh, months.
6 months?
2 months.
Did they find another role for you?
Well, I found one. Now, we're not going to put all this in. This is just
entirely up to
you. Skeleton down. Because I don't like to sit and reminisce, because I never did. But then I joined the Army on another little line. He was thrown out of it. And then I joined the Naval Reserve Unit. And was thrown out of it. And finally, I knew I was thrown out. And not wanting to practice in the city, I looked around for the next best thing and got a position as an assistant surgeon in a copper mining company. And later became chief surgeon of that company.
What company was it?
It was called the Shannon Copper Company. It's now part of the Phelps Dodge, which is a community organization. It was an English company. Of course, during those war years, the mines worked in the smelter day and night. So actually, I know that the work I did there was harder physically than if I'd been sitting on a ship. But anyhow, now what else?
I want to ask you one question. When you were traveling to the spas, did this interrupt your schooling?
Yeah, that's why I went to East Liberty Academy.
Oh.
It interrupted this whole high school business.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back, my sister went to Seton Hill, and I went to the East Liberty Academy.
Yes,
it did indeed, because we were gone, I think, maybe 3 months. Yeah, that 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got to this.
Did your mother's health improve at all?
Of course. Because my mother she was a very charming woman, very bright, and tremendous personality. If she was of that period, that today, and I'm not sounding at all flippant, she would have been an ideal case for psychotherapy. It was too early. She was under the best brains in Philadelphia, in that field. And she just go into the tree more, into the paintings, and all the things we used to do. I used to tease her about it. As she grew older, she got over all this and became very well. She died. She was 82 when she died, and it was cancer. So that it was this long period. When I was a youngster, it did influence me. I must confess. It just frightened me.
How long ago did she die? You know,
there are those damn notes.
No, the dates, yes.
And they're out there at Westview, huh?
Well, don't worry about
it. It's hard for me because, you know, if my was Chamberlain, she would have remembered so fast. But I don't emphasize this sort of family date, mm-hmm. don't you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of lump it all. I would guess, because time goes so fast, I wouldn't even hazard a guess. I can get this.
What made you go to medical school? Is there any decisive influence?
This is a long history. What makes any young person? I think I was influenced by a very tall, handsome homeopathic physician who was our neighbor. I remember very well. At the age of 4, I was madly in love with his daughter, Lucille. And Dr. Beer used to come home in a long black coat. Yes, a black coat. Because, you know, homeopaths poured liquid over pills, you know, my mother's. They carried a little black bag of pills, sugar. And then they would come and they'd diagnose you. Know? And then they would simply take out little vials and so many drops of these various liquids they poured in this little bottle of pills. The pills would absorb most of the liquid, and that was the medicine. Now it's different. Homeopathy is the same as the other. Hahnemann's going to the doctor. Changed our hospital here. Would be great. Hospitals for the homeopathy. And I think it's because I fell in love with Lucille and admired his tall, handsome body, which is as good a reason. In other words, I didn't want to save humanity. I could go on, by the way, about this stuff on in the West Room.
Was it interesting? Did you like living there?
Oh, it was very. I was, you know, on deputy sheriff, on a horse, and all that nonsense, and I treated most of the cowboy. All the stuff you see on television, on the movies, I lived through.
So it's real?
It's very real to me. Mexicans, I learned terrible Spanish. Most of our employees were Mexicans. We're very near the Mexican border. And my wife used to say, someday just sit down, get out the recorder, and dictate your story, which is not relevant this afternoon.
It certainly is.
No.
It's your opportunity.
I had a houseman, Tom, who I carried. I could spend the rest of the day talking about Tom. I think about him. He was a cook in my house.
Was it medically good experience?
Very,
there?
Very. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I didn't have been accepted for an early fellowship at the Mayo when all this came. No, it's a terrific experience. Because as a very young man, you were alone. And you couldn't pick up the phone and call an orthopedic surgeon or an eye doctor. You know, you had to do it. But I was very well trained during the Los Angeles County Hospital and the University of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. There were other companies in the district, and if we got in too much of a problem, we would use one of our own people or a friend from the hospital. We had stations throughout the Arizona mountains where we had mines. But these mines were often 2 days away. But you could call them if you were. So it was up in the Arizona mountains.
Did you get to travel to the mines themselves, or did you stay headquarters?
Oh, no, I would still have some junk around me, they'd see me. My mining lamp and stuff, all this underground, and the skips. I didn't have to, but I enjoyed it. And I learned. You see, I worked around with the geologists and the mining engineers, and that's how I learned. And this was at a time when Arizona was a state. 6 years ago.
How many years were you there?
Between three.
What made you leave?
Well, I came back to visit my family. I realized that it was all right, my health was fine. It was all right to be a mining camp doctor. But after X number of years, that's where you were. I was offered other positions in South America where they gave you every 3 years, they give you a month off, and every so many years, they give you 3 months in postgraduate study. But I realized that you really couldn't advance your knowledge in medicine then as a mining doctor. So I came back to visit, and the company was in the process of changing ownership to the bigger company, and I decided to stay.
So did you come back to Pittsburgh at that point?
Came back to Pittsburgh, and I've retained my licenses in New Jersey, the States, just out of business. I've been back to visit. Mm-hmm. Jane and I used to go back to visit.
Is there anyone there that you still know after all this time?
No, the last time I there was one man whom I didn't recognize. Mm-hmm. This was at a time when the state of Arizona was prohibition, but there was no national prohibition. And so that led to the worst kind of bootlegging, because our town was near New Mexico, which was a wet state, and near California, which was a wet state. So that the bootleggers would come in from New Mexico and go through our town. And that of course, meant all kinds of crazy experiences. We were not far from the well-known town of Carlsbad, where the Carlsbad Caverns are. It's very famous. As a matter of fact, it was one of the first copper mining towns in the United States.
Was it a real company town kind of
thing? Oh, yes. Company store. Company hospitals. We have built them, you know. Company was built in most of Mexico. The heads of departments were arranged. Yes, it was a company town.
Were the hospital facilities good?
Well, it was small. But when you look back so many years, they were quite good. I think we had something like 30 or 35 beds. We did everything I think there was pretty good seconds. There was a flat price on the tickets. This was all free medicine, you see, mm-hmm. except in two departments. Venereal disease cost an extra $10, and the minor paid if you were Mexican for the baby, for the obstetrics, he paid $15. But the non-Mexican paid $25. That was paid at the time. So it was really a company kind of idea. And that's why when we had strikes, it became so. Because it was a strike. So there was one independent man in the town, and he had a strike, quite a large strike. But it was independent. And he was far ahead of his time. And when there was a strike, and he began to get very bad, no one had any food or clothes or kids and so on, he didn't get that money's credit. Mm-hmm. So it was a wild kind of life. Next question.
That sounds very interesting. Well, how did you find Pittsburgh when you came back? Where did Pittsburgh you live? Known as a child?
Oh, well, I was only gone altogether. Well, I wasn't gone long enough to know any change. I didn't. The only change I noticed, actually, I'm skipping it. The only change I noticed was I just felt crushed in. We then lived on what is now Aiken Avenue, called Rebecca Street. And I just felt crushed in because I had this house out there in Arizona. And as I went out there on the veranda, I could look beyond the mountain, mile after mile after mile, and I felt the houses across the street were just too near. Yes, that was my real reaction. I had many friends here, dear friends. So that was a problem. But the sense of not the climate so much as no space. Very difficult.
Did you set up practice here right away or become affiliated with the hospital?
Both. Became affiliated with West Penn and set up practice.
Were you in practice by yourself at this point? Or?
Shared offices with a surgeon, Dr. L.H. Landing, who was my senior. And a good friend. His son is now in my fifth.
When were you married?
1922. March.
Had you known your wife for a long time?
No. No. I've known Jane for, well, I don't remember exactly. Maybe 5 years.
What was her maiden name?
Jeanette Einstein. We were born in Catania. She went to the tanning schools and then from Vassar to Vassar. Graduated from Vassar. Phi Beta Kappa, 1970. She continued some college work after we were married, but never bothered to go for the next degree. She worked. She wanted to live in the city, not all the time. She worked, did some advertising for it for quite a while. And then became the Post Gazette. And you may or may not know she was there after many, many moments. Another fact, she was from the first time. Well, yeah. And that monument out there, that they just...
That's lovely.
Isn't that lovely?
Handsome piece of sculpture.
Well, I was a... Is that machine still running? Because this is real elegant. I was a bit worried about it.
Did you share her interest in art yourself?
Well, I shared it, but in a much less degree. Jamie had her work and I had mine. We were always interested in, not necessarily the art world, but we were married at a time when much of the stuff that you use, like china and that, pretty hard. And we began picking up, we just on little bits of trips of early American stuff and using it, you see? That kind of thing, this kind of thing. And so we did share it in that. But our paths were pretty separate yet in our work. Of course we went to shows and I learned a great deal from them, you know. But we never let either one's work in. She never knew anything about who my patients were, or what was the matter with them, after some certain doctor's practice, you know. She was down to paper every day. And we did share a great deal. But in those other things. Old books, glass, china, pictures. Yes.
Can you describe your work to us a little more in more detail?
Yeah. Well, it has to do with the biochemistry of cancer.
This is the research you're doing at the present time?
Yes. I was trying earlier to practice medicine half-time and do research. And about 10 years ago, I discovered some cancer. So I gave up my practice. And devoted full-time to this research. We've been on a grant from the government for many years, but like so many research projects, we're about to keep going. Like every other, it's a well-known story. To go back to the work we're doing, my associate is Dr. Leon Levinson, who is been in this country for 45 years, born in Buenos Aires, and he is a PhD in biochemistry. And of course we have some technicians. The work is, I don't know if I hard to describe something. We're interested in what makes a cell, a normal cell, become a cancer cell. We are not devoting ourselves to the treatment of cancer, because we can't do both. We feel that it's pretty hard to treat a disease if we don't know what causes it. And so that we're devoting our time and writing our papers and delivering our speeches now and then in the same field of what we want is the etiology, the cause of the cancer. And we've come up with a few very interesting things. We have not discovered the cause of cancer. I said that emphatically because we get these phone calls, you know. We hear that you're doing research. My cousin has a disease, and maybe, you know, you can help him. So we cut all that out. Our work is in the chemical laboratory and with animals. And long before the environment got to be a word, you know, pollution, we use the environment, not of the whole environment, but the environment of cells. I don't know how much biology you guys have taken, but a cell, you know, a single cell, a living cell, whether it's a plant or animal, lives in a tissue, and that tissue has an environment. Mm-hmm. That cell, that cell takes in nutrition and puts out waste products. So that when you go from the thought of a single cell burning, it just goes up and up until a plant or an animal or a human being lives in an environment, whether it's air or water, it takes in nutrition, puts out waste products. So that what we study actually is what happens around that cell, that that cell takes in certain nutrients, uses them for its own growth and development, and puts out into that same surrounding fluid, it's waste product. So we study the changes that occur as that cell takes in its food and puts out its waste product. And lots of other interesting results. So that by changing the environment of a cell, or a few cells, by making it difficult for that cell to take in a certain kind of food, the cell doesn't eat, and therefore it doesn't live. Now that's oversimplification. You can start asking me questions.
How long have you been actively engaged in this particular type of research?
This is what, 70?
Has this been most of your life?
1960.
Oh. What about earlier in your career? What was your...
Internal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I practiced internal medicine. Oh, I was offered with we all were fellowship. Psychiatry was then the big thing, and I was probably a couple of different my subject was interesting.
Where do you do your research?
West Penn Hospital. The hospital built a splendid laboratory. It helped us immeasurably. And one publishes in the usual science.
Do you have any idea how unique this particular type of medical research is? Are there any other groups in the country actively engaged?
Well, this is a little hard to pin down. There are groups all over the world, not just the country. But as far as we can see or determine, you see, many journals have published.
Mm-hmm.
And we simply read these journals, and then there are extracts, and we read the extracts, you see. Because cancer research is a multiple faceted thing.